by Satanic International Network. You're listening to the Ooze.
I'm on the cage. Every foul wicked spirit is the host, the Ooze.
20 minutes, that the rule of A on the Ooze. Right now.
On the Ooze, it's gonna fucking rock. Be there.
The whole point.
To really tap into the adversarial current
necessitates a certain fortitude.
Now, onto our show.
Thanks for tuning in, folks. I'm TC Downey, and with me on the air is Benjer Satanis. Benjer, how are you today?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing just fine, man. Actually, kind of just getting warmed up for the show. Had most of a bottle of wine at this point. Thinking we should have a pretty easy going hour. I guess the first thing I want to say is part of the two-year anniversary, I thought it was important to get all of the previous co-hosts on the air. And more specifically, I did think it was important to actually have you on the air. You carried the co-host weight for more than a year, so by all rights, you are the longest-running co-host for the Ooze, and so it just wouldn't have been a two-year anniversary without you.
Well, thank you. And I'm glad that you've kept it going. And it seems to have turned into, you know, quite the expansion, you know, with more of a channel than an isolated show. And, you know, people are sticking with it and tuning in and, you know, listening and sparking debate and whatever. And that's, you know, that's awesome.
I don't know how much debate we actually spark. Most of our listeners are pretty silent on a regular basis, except for the few vocal hardcore people that call in on a pretty regular basis. But you know, I'll take that anyway, man. I guess we should start off with talking about your new baby. How's fatherhood, man?
Pretty good. You know, it's up and down, as I'm sure all parents can attest and all innocent bystanders can imagine. Some days it's great. You know, I say to myself, you know, I'm really happy, and I feel the most fulfilled I've ever felt before in my life. And then there are other days where I'm like, I just kind of want to jump out that window.
Right.
It sucks.
I fully understand where you're coming from, man. And believe it or not, you're still in the best period of it. I mean, for the next year and a half, everything's gravy, dude. But as soon as she hits two, you're fucked.
Yeah.
I just, you know, I'm saying that outright.
Okay. She's still immobile. I mean, she can't really crawl. She can move a little bit on her own, and she can roll around. But, you know, she's pretty dependent on us for everything. So,
right on.
Yeah, it's a good period. I mean, it's probably going to get hairier, you know, as we go, and she can start crawling and walking. We got to watch her every second. And, yeah.
Right. Well, the crawling and walking and having to watch her every second, you'll be thankful for that. Wait until the first time she opens her mouth and you have to tell her, shut up.
Yeah.
Because yeah. That's coming, right? About 3.5, 4 years old, that's coming. So.
Yeah.
But tell us a little bit about her. She was born not too long ago. We don't know the birth weight. We don't know a lot about what she looks. Yeah.
She kind of looks, I don't know, maybe it's my imagination, but she kind of looks like a cross between me and the mother, Danielle. She was fairly big, like 8 pounds. I can't remember how many ounces. She was born March 16th. She's good. She's really long. And her head's kind of small compared to other babies. But, yeah, she's healthy and happy, and so it's all good.
March 16th, that's my mother's birthday. That's interesting.
Oh, yeah.
She's a Pisces, so.
Yeah.
And you
Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say you can look forward to many emotional-driven statements in her lifetime. Yeah. So, all right, tell me more about her. I mean, she's, you know, she's now got to be then about 6 months old, which means that you're, you know, you're actually starting to get some responsiveness from her, some smiles, some giggles. I'm guessing cooing probably.
Oh, yeah. She makes these weird sounds, like just high-pitched squeals and other stuff. Yeah, she's pretty responsive, pretty attentive. She follows you with her eyes, and she grabs at stuff. Yeah.
All right. She a mama's girl or a daddy's girl?
Well, she sees her mother, like, every day during the day because her mom stays home with her. And then she sees me at night and on weekends. So I think she's kind of more or less happy or excited to see me when she does. But that's probably because she sees me a little bit less. And whenever I'm holding her and Danielle's around, the baby is always looking at her. So, you know, her mom's still the center of her world. Plus, she's still breastfeeding. So.
Right. That's the food source, man. You can't compete with that.
No. I don't even try. You know, I'm just happy when... you know, I can make her smile or laugh or not cry when I'm holding her. So.
Right on. So, speaking of the mother, you guys are now engaged and getting ready to be married in 3 days?
Yep, Saturday. Yep, 3 days.
Wow, what an amazing change from roughly about a year ago when you weren't even certain if you wanted to be around her.
It's pretty much a 180. As you know, with my previous lifestyle before Danielle, it was pretty footloose and fancy-free. I was coming and going and doing whatever I wanted to, as a single guy should. You know, I was seeing different girls on different time lengths. You know, at any one period, I had two on and off, more or less steady. Like, not girlfriends, but long-term girls that I saw. And then every once in a while, I would change it up, and I would add in a girl here, a girl there, and just, you know, date randomly. And you know, hang out with my friends, and, you know, all that kind of came to an end when Danielle got pregnant. But at the time, I was just kind of like, ah, fuck, this is not what I wanted, and... not quite the direction I wanted to go in, and it was an upset, and I was just kind of, you know, not altogether happy or upsetting with how things were going. But then I realized that, you know, even though this was a big change, this was a change that probably needed to be made. It had to happen sooner or later, and Danielle is actually, you know, she was a wonderful girlfriend. She's been a wonderful fiance in the time we've been engaged, and she's a wonderful mother.
Good
stuff. And I'm excited for to get married and her to be my wife and happily live ever after, I guess.
Right on, man. Hang on, I'm having a little bit of headset difficulties. I'll get this adjusted out real quick. Or maybe not. Damn it, the replacement's coming soon enough, I swear. I just actually ordered it today. Should be here on Friday. So, I don't know. Right on. So I don't get you to say something that might get you sleeping on the couch, I'm going to go ahead and throw this out there that The phone lines are open. It's 347-989-1371. Call in if you've got any questions or you know, just want to say fucking howdy doody or whatever. Let's do that. In the meantime, while we're waiting, how's business?
Oh, yeah, good. We're all rented up for this year, and we're going to start renting up for next year with the apartment. So that's good. The
right
economy hasn't really impacted us a lot, the negative aspects of the economy. We've got to be a little bit more modest in the raising of the rents, but we're kind of always doing that because we don't want to gouge people and we want to make it easy for us to re-rent the apartments because they're student apartments. So we've got turnover like nobody's business, you know. We turn
right
over like 80 to 85% of all of our apartments every August. So, yeah. But, yeah, it's good. Yeah.
Right on. Well, you're getting ready to go into busy time, right? October, if I remember right, your busy month?
Yeah. Mid-October, that's when we start renting in earnest. And, yeah, it gets pretty busy. You know, so I have to stay at the office until 5 for like a month, which is kind of weird. Usually I'm, you know, out of there by 3 or 4. So.
Right on. Right. Yeah. So, all right, we got all that formal shit out of the way. Have you seen any good films lately?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I haven't given that up. I have. I've seen a lot of good stuff. I don't know if you want me to start naming off stuff or pick a category or what.
Pick your favorite, man. Pick the best thing you've seen in the past 6 months.
Okay. The best movie I've seen in the theater was probably Warrior. We saw that on Saturday, and that blew me away. I talked about it in the last YouTube video I made, Inspiration. I think that's what it's called. Then I think Warrior is going to make or be nominated for Best Picture in 2011, you know, without question, because it was just so awesome, such a phenomenal movie. It had everything, you know, especially you know, a fight between, really, they make it out to be good and evil. And it's just an epic struggle, you know, heartwarming and heartbreaking stuff, you know, drama, family, Nick Nolte, beating the shit out of each other in the ring. You really can't go wrong with that.
Nick Nolte, oh, man, that's terrible. My mom would go nuts on that, but he kind of makes me want to vomit, so...
Well, he's got kind of a good role. He plays an ex-alcoholic father, you know, still a father, but no longer an alcoholic. And, you know, everybody's kind of down on him. That's at the best of times. And not the best of times, they're yelling and spitting at him. And you know, he was pretty shitty, I guess, as a father when these boys were growing up. And he's kind of laying everything on the table like, yeah, I fucked up. And I don't know what to tell you. I still want a relationship with you boys. And you're like, yeah, you're dead to me, pretty much. But there's always a little bit that creeps on. And one of the guys wants his dad to train him for this, like, MMA, like mixed martial arts, like competition. This guy put up $5 million just to find out who's the toughest man alive or something. That's basically the plot of Warrior. So it's awesome. I recommend people see it. I've just been seeing a lot of cool stuff, Women in Prison movies, a lot of the classics, a lot of things that Danielle has never seen, like Escape from New York and... God, there's just so much that she hadn't seen before, like Hellraiser. So we've been seeing a lot of that shit. It's awesome.
What? Did you pull this girl out of the cave? Is that the deal?
yeah, a little bit. That's the kind of girl I usually go for, which is opposite to my type. So I think I can count on one hand the number of girls I've dated. For any period of time, that was into, you know, horror movies and, like, dark, cool stuff like I am. And I mean, Danielle kind of likes it and enjoys it now with me and tolerates it occasionally when it's something that she's really not that into. But she's good about that. But, yeah, of all the hundreds of girls I've dated, only a handful were really into the same exact sort of things that I am. So,
right on.
Yeah. So I'm used to, you know, watching movies with girls that are like, I've never heard of Evil Dead. I'm like, what the fuck? You know.
Right on.
Just going off on them, not, maybe not to their face, but in my head, I'm like, Jesus H. Christ, where have you been for the last 20 years? God damn.
Right. I mean, that's the shit you beat off to in high school, right? I mean, how could they not have seen that?
I wasn't really big into that until the college. But, yeah. I really got into horror kind of early high school, I guess. And, never let go. You know, I'm always looking for the next great horror movie that I've never seen. Or that I love and I want to see again.
What did you think of the remake of I Spit on Your Grave?
I thought it was decent, but, you know, maybe it's because I'm old in some kids' eyes, but you're hard-pressed to get away or to surpass the classics. And when it comes to I Spit on Your Grave, I just like the original so much better. I mean, props to the remake, you know, it turned out good. But, I just love the original so much.
The original was pretty cool, but I got to be honest, man. The remake, I thought, just totally kicked ass comparatively. I mean, the actual CG that they used in the gore scenes was, I mean, tenfold better.
Yeah, the gore, like, torture, ingenious stuff like that. Which I guess is kind of like Saw, maybe. I think I've only seen the first Saw, actually. But, yeah, that was very impressive. It was. The original, I don't know, there was just something...
I know, you're an atmosphere kind of guy.
I'm a what kind of guy?
An atmosphere kind of guy.
Yeah. I like the slow build-up and just the way the camera watches... God, what's her name? I think her last name is Keaton. Camilla Keaton, or... I can't remember the actress from the original. But just the way the camera follows her around, around her house and around the woods and you know, doing your grocery shopping and stuff like that and getting gas and... I don't know. Yeah, just a whole lot of atmosphere. But I feel the same way, not only about that movie, but Last House on the Left and... other stuff like that. Although I will say the remake of Fright Night is damn near as good as the original. And I love the original Fright Night. That's one of my favorite. That might be my top 10 favorite horror movies of all time. I love Fright Night. I think the remake is almost as good. So.
Yeah, I got to agree it falls short. I mean, the original had a certain level of campiness to it that it's just abandoned in the remake.
It is. There's a certain amount of humor, and which is good. You know, I think David Tennant, the actor that played the stage magician, he was really good and he was really funny. He kind of hammed it up a little bit. But yeah, the original is just such a classic and so awesome on so many different levels that, yeah, it's still the best.
Right. Right, I'm sorry, I'm chuckling because I just read some commentary by Jason in the chat room, so forgive me. But seriously, I do want to throw out 347-989-1371. Any of you fuckers want to call in, now is the time to do it. Otherwise, we're going to talk a little more about horror movies and then see where we go from there. I mean, we still have the recent Green Lantern film to cover, and beyond that, I can think of, a dozen other horror movies. Did you, Venger, ever get a chance to watch The Human Centipede?
Yes, I did.
Now,
I thought it was a little bit of a letdown from what I was expecting.
Yeah.
I always go into situations like that with high expectations. I don't know. It's just my MO. You know, I always go into a situation thinking, oh man, this could really kick ass. And I went in with that expectation there, and as usual, or just sometimes, depending, I was let down, I felt. I knew it was good. It was a good movie, but it didn't make me think, like, oh my God, the horror genre or the gore or gorno or whatever genre has been, you know, catapulted to this new height that Hostel can never live up to, or, you know, something like that. What did you think?
Honestly, I thought the movie fucking sucked, but there were certain scenes of it that were just so over the top and
yeah,
grotesque that, I mean, it by itself was the only redeeming value. Otherwise, I mean, the plot was lame. You had this fucking, this pair of chicks that get nabbed when they're looking for some help on off-road. They get sewed to some Asian guy's ass and face and
yeah.
You know,
I thought that they wanted to make a sequel, except do like an 8 or 9 person centipede. I'm like, okay, you know, if that's the movie you want to make or keep making, then, you know, by all means, but don't expect me to keep renting them.
Yeah, I mean, the whole deal was, it was just so poorly executed. You know, the horror of having all your teeth ripped out of your mouth and your fucking face actually sewn to another person's asshole, knowing that when they have a bowel movement, you're going to take a chunk in your mouth. That would be, I don't know, that would be excruciating, but I just don't think that they did enough justice towards what the third section of the centipede would be. I mean, I don't think they would have lived nearly as long as they did. I don't think that it went through a long enough period of sickness.
Right. Even though they showed everything pretty well, you know, a lot of detail, they just suggested the real horror of it instead of, you know, if you're going to watch an extreme movie like that, you know, a movie that calls itself Centipede and that is about what Centipede is about, I expect, like, you know, almost up to the level of, like, some sort of porno, like just the horror and debasement and whatever of, you know, someone's mouth being sewn to someone's ass and them shitting in their mouth and just, you know, I expected it to, like, you know, really up the ante there and, like, take it up to 11, but they just never did. They almost suggested it in a way that's more like an artful kind of horror movie.
Right
on. And subtle. And that's not what you see a movie like Centipede for, not the subtlety. You want to see, like, you know, like I recently saw this movie, Hobo with a Shotgun, starring Rutger
Hauer. Awesome movie. Awesome movie.
Yeah, it was awesome. And it just, like, cranked all that shit up to 11. And it was just, like, unbelievable. You're like, oh, my God, I can't believe I'm watching this. You know, that's the kind of shit you want to see when, no pun intended, when you're watching Centipede. But it just never got to that level, and so I was disappointed. And it sounds like you were too.
Yeah, absolutely. I was very disappointed. I mean, I was completely grossed out by what I saw, but that most certainly did not make it anything of an entertaining value. I mean, the only redeeming values of the movie were, you know, the idea, the original concept, the little bit of grotesque filmography that you actually got to experience, and then beyond that, the two hot chicks that they got to play the parts, and that was it, man. I mean, you might as well fucking, you know, drank a pound of vodka, swallowed a couple ounces of acid, and watched House of Thousand Corpses. It was just as entertaining.
Right, right. Yeah, the ending was just like, what? The ending was like Hamlet or something. And I'm just like, that's not the ending I was looking for. So.
Right on. Yeah, I agree. I fucking am a Netflix subscriber, so unfortunately I've seen so many goddamn movies that I don't remember what all the titles of them were. But there's a couple of really good things out right now. I don't know if you got a chance to check out Dead Girl, but that's excellent.
Oh, I did. That is excellent. That's fucked up. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That is. I saw that. Someone rented that one, and then Cabin Fever 2. It was a while ago. It was like 9 months ago.
Right.
Right when they came out. And we watched them back to back. And ironically, one of the main guys in the one movie is in the other movie. I thought that was weird. Because I'd never seen that actor before, and I see him prominently in both of these movies at the same time. But, yeah, it was great. That was an awesome night, because Cabin Fever 2 is awesome, Dead Girl is awesome, and, yeah, if you like horror movies, I definitely recommend both of those, because those are great.
Right on. Now, I honestly thought that Cabin Fever 2 was a redeemer for Cabin Fever 1. I thought the first movie was kind of lame, so.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the sequel to Cabin Fever is actually much better than the original, which almost never happens. But, yeah. I thought the original was good, but I didn't care for it as much as some of my other friends did. But I love Cabin Fever, too. Maybe because of the humor element. Because I found it really funny.
Right on. Right on. So,
during the prom, they were just watching horror movies and, you know, that kid's basement or living room or something. I was just like, oh, my God. I could see myself in that.
Right on. Right on. You can put yourself right there, huh?
I could. That's disturbing. But, yeah, I could.
Right on.
Like, why would you want to go out with a girl when you could be watching, like, Zombie Holocaust, you know, 5? That's just stupid.
Right?
It just goes to show how much I knew back in high school.
You know, one film that sticks out in my head that I've seen recently is Stakeland. I don't know if you've gotten a chance to check that out, but I thought that was actually excellent.
Yeah, I did. That was really good.
It was more of a zombie flick than a vampire flick, but...
Yeah, you're right. It's the the vampires are just like zombies. Speaking of zombies, Danielle had never seen the original Night of the Living Dead. And so we watched that.
The black and white?
Yeah, the black and white, First it was like the colorized version, and I saw 2 seconds of it. I'm like, no, that sucks. We got to turn the disc over or whatever and get the black and white. And just like, how can you tell? I'm like, I just looked at one frame of that, and I'm like, it's all like colorized. It's fake, and, you know, it's stupid. It reminds me of CGI, which I hate.
Right on.
So we watched the black and white, and that was cool. Like I said, she had never seen it, so classic.
From about the ages of 6 to about 11, that was my favorite film right there. I watched a VHS at that time that I had of it so many times that eventually the VHS player fucking ate that shit.
Yeah.
Something about black and white horror that today's color horror just can't touch.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of which, have you ever seen The Haunting? That's black and white. That's the reason I mentioned it.
I believe so, but it's been a while, so.
Okay. Yeah, for anyone that likes a more classic and, I guess, subdued horror movie, but still fucking scary. Like, if you watch this either alone or with your significant other or something, with all the lights out, like, late at night, you will get a little scared, even if you're a jaded horror freak like myself or like TC. You'll be like, oh, my God, I'm just a touch freaked out right now, you know, a little bit scared. Because it is so atmospheric and so, I don't know why it's so awesome, but it's just one of those classic early horror movies that just get it so right. And it's just unsettling as hell and awesome.
Right on, man. I remember it being a good film. It's a shame I don't remember much more than that about it. I'll probably have to go back to Netflix tonight and rewatch it just to refresh my memory.
Yeah. It's good because I hadn't seen it for a while either, up until a year ago when I bought the DVD. And I remembered, like, oh, yeah, this was cool. But then I watched it again, and I'm like, oh, my God, this is so much cooler than I remembered it. I just brought it all home. I was just like, oh, my God, I'm kind of a little bit scared. This is weird.
Right on. Well, I'm picturing you, like, tucked under your blanket with your flashlight under there as you're watching it. I mean, I'm hoping that's the case. But
if I had a Snuggie, I would be wearing my Snuggie, you know, with the flashlight and, you know, a bowl of popcorn and whatever. Yeah.
Right on. So, all right, again, I'm going to throw out the call-in number, 347-989-1371. I can't imagine that, I said before the show that I didn't think anybody would have the nuts to actually call in, but, you know, you actually kind of threw out the opposite that you thought people would, so I'm going to throw out that call-in number again just to see if they do.
Come on, you bald losers, call in.
Yeah. You know, it's tough to have the testicular fortitude to dial the phone nowadays. I found this out.
Yes, it is. The testicular fortitude is severely lacking in certain quarters.
Right on. In the meantime, I guess I should ask how the Cthulhu Cult business is going and how that has affected your parenthood duties or vice versa.
Oh, pretty good. Yeah, things are good. You know, going by at a steady pace. Some up, some down, but mostly up. You know, pretty much everything in my life is two steps forward and two steps back. But, you know, that's still progress.
Right.
Yeah, things are good. I have a little bit less time now. I try to let people know that, and hopefully people make allowances for me being on the internet less and for me, you know, writing things less. But I'm still pretty active and maintain a presence. And I got other shit I'm doing too, like I'm trying to write a novel, and that takes up a boatload of time, and yeah, as well as family stuff. So
right on.
That's all good. It's all good.
Well, it appears that my gambit worked. I've got two callers on the line. One's Jason Sorrell, so I'm going to pull him on first.
Okay.
Jason, what's up?
What's going on, man? You suck.
Let me get this other caller on the line. 609, you're on the air.
Hey, dude, Tyson. Once known as, I will own up to that. So, I don't know, I just figured, you know, I was listening to this, I was curious how this interaction would go, and I mean, I have nothing against horror movies, but I was sort of wondering, like, Venger, if you had, like, one message you would want to give to the Sin crowd, and Zeno, if you had, like, one message you would want to give to the Cthulhu crowd.
All right, cool, yeah. Okay, one message I would give to the Sin crowd. Let's see. A lot of it I think you can chalk up to, you know, there's a certain amount of show business and there's a certain amount of, you know, people doing what they're doing and, you know, it's easy to get carried away and not really think about the other guy. And care what's happening to him or what his reasons or excuses are for his or her behavior. And, you know, you fall into this whole dualistic, like us versus them, you know, conflict. And that feeds a lot of the whole internet drama. And it's a lot of what people want to see and stuff like that. Anyway, I don't hold anything against anybody. You know, because life is too short, and people can be cool with me. I can be cool with them, And, you know, I hope people do what they do and enjoy what they're doing. And maybe we can find common ground on some stuff and work together, possibly. If not, that's cool, too. And whatever, live long and prosper.
You forgot the Cthulhu cult message. That was the second part of his question.
No, that's for you.
Yeah, but he wanted you to answer the question, man.
Oh, he wanted me to answer the question.
Affirmative.
Oh, okay. I didn't understand the way the question was phrased. For the Cthulhu cult, the only thing that I would say is focus hard and focus deep on the work. You know, don't let the other particulars get there.
No, that's for you, Abby.
That would be what I say. Focus on the work.
Hey, amen to that.
All right, thanks.
All right, I got a couple questions, and I want to get the hell off the phone, man, because I only called in because DC was saying I don't have any testicles. So.
That's kind of why I called. So, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, one question was related to kind of what you're talking about. With the horror movies and everything else, I'm kind of curious, Vendor, what your favorite Lovecraft-inspired horror movie happens to be. And then my other question is, since we're talking about this is the Ooze's, you know, two-year anniversary, given the whole year you spent co-hosting, do you have a favorite memory or do you have something that really stood out as a day that you were, you know, co-hosting or hosting the Ooze that it was really cool? And that's my question. I'll just listen to that shit on the radio, man. So, good show, guys. Okay. Have a good one.
Right on.
Glad you had some balls, Jay.
Yeah, TC knew he could go to you into that in calling in. So, and I kind of felt that that you'd come out of the woodwork too, because because you're a cool guy, man. So yeah, good questions. Let's see. For straight up adaptation, where my definition for that is the director or writer or screenwriter or whoever tried to follow a Lovecraft story or a couple different Lovecraft stories combined as closely as he could without, you know, word for word. You know what? If I took it by decade, I just thought of that. That's my excuse for naming more than one, I guess. Maybe from the 60s, I'd say The Haunted Palace, just because I loved the shit out of that movie. Directed by Roger Corman, starring Vincent Price. And even Lon Chaney Jr. plays like a supporting role. So it's all good stuff. So that's definitely a favorite. From the 70s, I'd say The Dunwich Horror. Because that's just great, and I love Dean Stockwell, who's the star of that. He does a great job as Wilbur Whately, and there's just a great mood to the film. The 80s, I'd probably have to say, God, it's maybe Reanimator. I also love From Beyond. So Stuart and Gordon definitely takes the 80s kick there. The 90s. I'm trying to think when Dagon came out.
Dagon would have been 90s, early 90s.
Okay. All right, then I'd say Dagon. And then for the 2000s, although In the Mouth of Madness, while not a direct adaptation of Lovecraft's story, In the Mouth of Madness is still fucking awesome. For that matter, so are The Thing and Prince of Darkness, also directed by John Carpenter. Let's see, the 2000s, maybe that black and white silent love, Call of Cthulhu film, because that very closely followed the story, and that was pretty awesome. I hadn't seen anything like that since or before that. So, yeah, definitely that's in there.
Right on. I just want to correct real quick because it just occurred to me that I could be wrong about when Dagon aired, and it was actually in 2001, so you still got to pick for the 90s.
Okay. Well, I'm thinking about that. What was Jason's other question?
That's a good question. I'm too buzzed to actually tell you, man.
I'll put the Lovecraft thing aside, even though it's going to eat me up inside. Let's see. Jason's other question.
Favorite episode of The Ooze.
Favorite episode. I'll just talk about a selection of moments that I remember. Definitely having Sandra Olivet on was a real treat, I think, for both of us. That was pretty cool. We had some good times with both of those. There were a lot of great conversations that we had with Jason King. I know Dark Fool was in on at least a couple of them as well, and Jason Sorrell. I loved it when like all three of us, you, me, and then Jason Sorrell, were talking about the Fourth Way. I can remember, you know, where I was. I was, you know, just pacing, walking up and down my bedroom, you know, looking out the window occasionally, you know, just trying to like get into the conversation and, you know, dig deep with my thoughts and my interpretation of the Fourth Way and, you know, and reconcile that with other people's understanding of the work. So that was really phenomenal because that happened on multiple occasions. When we had Jason Wallach.
The Unquiet Void. Yeah.
Yeah. I tried to do an interview with him for the cult site, and he was a completely different person from on the radio to email. You know, on the radio you couldn't shut him up, which was awesome because he kept talking about really cool stuff like how he the conception of these Lovecraft dark ambient albums and what went into it. And then with the email questions, I would just get like a 1-2 sentence answer, and then that was it. There's just night and day. I was just like, oh my God, this guy is perfect for radio, but I don't think I can use the email interview because it's just, it just doesn't work.
You know, it's funny because I would have actually predicted that. He seemed to be somebody that was more visually and auditorily stimulated than actually by text. I could imagine that his sentences were not only short and sweet, but pretty dry overall.
Yeah. So that might be it. Trying to think of some other stuff. Who else did we have on that was really cool?
We've had a lot of very cool people on the news here. I'm trying to think of back when you were co-hosting, because Zandora LaVey was one of them. We did the character and history of Satanism with Nagashiva and Venus Satanis.
Nagashiva was calling in fairly frequently, like once every 3 episodes or something. So that was cool.
We had King. Pretty much. I mean, it was the first year, so the highlights that we actually got to do were not as exciting as the ones that came later, but still, I think for the beginning stages of the show, it was something that I was enthusiastic about, and I'm sure you were too.
For the 90s, for that Lovecraft film thing, I was going to say The Resurrected. Looking at it on Amazon, it came out in 1991, and it stars Chris Sarandon, who is actually Jerry, the vampire from Fright Night.
Right on.
It's also about Charles Dexter Ward, just like the Haunted Palace is. So, yeah, that's really good.
Right on.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, that answers that question. We still got, I don't know, 14 minutes left. Is there anything you wanted to talk about specifically when we got up here?
I haven't that specific in mind. Just whatever other people want to talk about. I don't know. People wanted to talk about philosophy religion or politics or something. I'd be happy to talk about politics just because it just seems like things are just, I don't know. Well, there's a lot going on in the political arena, at least in America. And a lot of people are paying attention more than ever, I think, which is good because, you know, the country is kind of in a crisis right now, and maybe we're on the precipice of, you know, an apocalypse. I don't know. So if anyone has anything political to say, call in and we can talk about that. Or
we
do, UTC, if you want to talk about politics, we could do that.
Well, we do have actually, we did get a caller from the 757 area code, so I'm bringing them on the air. Caller, you're on the ooze.
Hey, guys. Corson.
Alice,
hey, what's up?
Hey, what's going on? So, 2-year anniversary. The question I wanted to ask was, Avenger having hosted for a year and then, you know, step back and when listen to you guys host the show for a year, you know, what is your favorite show that you hosted, and then what is your favorite show that you just kind of listened to while they were hosting with other hosts?
Oh, okay. Right. Probably, well, I like to listen to the special guests that we have, like Xander LaVey and Jason Wallach and things like that. But I'm more to get in there and do it kind of guy, and I like to be at the forefront of whatever discussion is going on, if that's my bag, you know, if we're talking about a subject that I'm into. And so really my favorite episodes when I was one of the co-hosts, I guess, is just talking about the cult, talking about Satanism, talking about the fourth way and esotericism and spirituality and magic, the occult, talking about all that stuff with Zeno and Ego Diabolus and Jason King. Those are my favorites that I hosted. But favorites that I listened to? I've commented on a few. The one that not too long ago that with TC and Jason Sorrell talked back and forth about the fourth way. I thought that was pretty good. A little dancing around the issue rather than getting to the meat of it, I thought, but still really good. And, you know, anytime people talk about the fourth way is good because so few people do. I know there's a couple others that I've listened to that I'm forgetting about. I know I've commented on a few. There's a couple I've listened to, I think with Zach Black was talking or co-hosting or something, and almost half of the episode was about me. I just thought it was amusing. I just kind of listened like a fly on the wall, I guess, you know. So, yeah, I guess stuff like that.
Cool.
Okay. Awkward moment of silence here.
I was getting like a weird echo.
Are you still getting the echo?
No, it stopped.
Okay.
Yeah, it was funny that you mentioned the the tidbits on you. I was actually like taking a tally for a while there, you know, for how many times King Calamari was mentioned. A lot of that stuff was really funny.
King Calamari? Is that me?
Yeah, you're King Calamari. You didn't know?
Actually, no, I didn't know that.
I'll take credit
yeah,
for that one.
Is that you, TC? Did you coin that? That was actually pretty funny.
Yeah, I coined that, King Calamari. it actually came from a week in Youngstown eating nothing but Italian food. I was sick of calamari by the time I got back to my regular duties, so it was fresh on my mind, and you know, the topic came up, and of course me, I've got to put something at least sort of tongue-in-cheek out there.
That's all good.
But yeah, King Calamari, that's mine. It just seemed to fit together nicely. But, all right. Yeah, well, I'm trying not to get into the drama phase of this show before the next 9 minutes roll out. So, any other questions?
No, that was it for me. I'm just going to hang on the line because I was having computer problems. You don't have to, you can just mute me if you like.
That's fine. We'll go ahead and put you on mute. Thank you for calling in.
I love the chat. I'm watching the chat, and I'm sure TC is as well. If anyone wants to ask a question through there, if they don't have the balls to call in, feel free.
Well, Ron French has got about 3 minutes left to fulfill his statement that he would call in the last 5 minutes and ask 30 questions, so I'm kind of waiting for that. You gotta love Ron French. He's the perfect middleman. It's all good there. 8 minutes left in the show, man. I wanted to thank you for your part in making the news what it is today. I know I give you a hard time here and there, but I wanted you to understand it in a certain perspective. So,
good. Thanks.
Right
on. And I'm like I said before, I'm glad that you kept it going, and I think it's definitely important work, and it's good to have voices, you know, talking about stuff. And active and promoting action, and just as you were saying, I give you a hard time a lot too, but you know, you keep doing stuff, and you're still here, and you're still, you know, trying to make it happen, and that's awesome. So I got to give you props for that.
Well, thanks, man. I'm like hemorrhoids that Preparation H won't cure. I just don't go away.
That's good.
We've got Zach on the line, so I'm gonna go ahead and throw him on here. Zach, what's up, dude?
How you doing? Actually, Beast, I think you're more like a case of the herpes. You're just like the gift that keeps on giving.
I take that as a compliment, my friend.
How you doing, Derek?
I'm doing good. How are you doing, Zach?
All right. You know, it was just a bad moment of dead air there. It was uncomfortable. It made me uncomfortable, so I decided to come in here and throw some humor in.
All right. Sounds good.
Well, okay. Now I'll sit here with you guys and be uncomfortable.
Right on. So
we can all three be uncomfortable at the same time together.
If this is going to go anywhere towards the circle jerk, guys, you can count me out.
Oh,
come on now.
Right on. I haven't had quite enough wine yet, I guess, to be funny, so don't mind me, guys.
Well, hey, Zach, do you have any questions for me, or is there anything you want to talk about?
No, not really in particular, man. Not really. I just kind of called in to break the ice. I don't really have anything to say.
Right on. Well, Zach, you would be representing 90% of the LHP at this point in time, so
Why is that?
Nothing to say.
Oh, okay. If we had more time, I'd go into the whole unification of the left-hand path. But, you know, yeah, what, 6 minutes?
Yeah, less than, actually about five, man. So, yeah. I don't want to extend this show. Let's not do that.
Well, hang on. On that note, I will mention something quickly. There's a little thread over on my feed that I guess I started it with just posting that video, that open discussion video. And, of course, the thread kind of took off. I think, Zach, I saw you post something that you were going to watch and be entertained. And I think one of my last posts on that thread was that I would be happy and even at this point would half expect that my idea or my initial ideas of a left-hand path unification might evolve into more of a, mutually beneficial cabal or collective, or the things that you guys were touting, a few months ago. And then maybe years from there, it might evolve again into something else or into something more political or something more like a movement or, I don't know, or a society or, something having to do with the government or the religion or a theocracy or something. I mean, I don't know. You know, these things take the course that they're going to take. But,
I mean, I see what you're saying. And I did catch part of that thread. Obviously, I made a comment on it. And, I don't know. I didn't take the time to actually watch your video. So I was just, I didn't really have any idea what they were talking about. I was just reading people's threads on it. I mean, I didn't know what they were referring to.
Yeah. Well, basically, I just want to, if people have anything to say to me or any kind of, discussion, or basically, I wanted to listen to what other people had to say because, I talk a lot. I talk on my videos. I talk on the forum and the social network and the blogs and interviews that I do and whatnot. And, I just kind of wanted to make a little space for me to listen to other people. And if other people had something to say, whether it was about me or the left-hand path or the Cthulhu cult or Satanism or religion or politics or just, trying to stay in shape, that they should start the discussion. We're all started, and then people can continue because I think talking about things and communicating is better than not. So,
I don't know how much of this Zach actually got. He fell off of the line there. But
yeah, okay.
We got a little less than 2 minutes left, man. I sent you all of my criticisms, and so I didn't think it was necessary to comment on that video. They were heartfelt, genuine criticisms. They weren't meant as spiteful.
Right.
So, it is what it is, dude. I appreciate you coming out to do the show.
Cool.
90 seconds just rang in my ear. So, again, thank you for coming out.
Thanks for having me.
All right. We'll go ahead and roll this into the outro. Everybody, we'll check you out tomorrow night.
All right. Yeah, Cthulhu Photography.
Thank you for listening to the Ooze. Opinions expressed by our guests or callers do not necessarily represent the opinions held by TC, Zach, Jason, Matt, or any other institution represented by them. If you have been offended by the production of this show, we are sorry, but it's the old expression goes. Come along. Special thanks to Zach Rocky DeRoma for his contribution to this outro. The Ooze is a Creative Oddity Studios product and is presented by Titanic International Network as its official Blog Talk radio show. Why waste your time with those other guys?
a little.